Jesus, take the wheel, take it from my hands. That's kind of what I was feeling. Dude, I felt one coming, like a voice crack, and I was like, but I was like.
Yes, Grace Youth Podcast. Yes, Grace Youth Podcast. Yes, Grace Youth Podcast. Yeah, it's Grace Youth Podcast.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Grace Youth Podcast. My name is Thomas McCarrick, and I'm so excited to just be doing a second episode. The reason why we do this podcast is to answer the questions that you guys have asked in our previous Q&As. And so we just have this time to come together and do it through video and through just recording on a mic. So with that, we have our second guest. It is the middle school minister, Rosie Hartman. Rosie, how are you?
That's me. I'm good.
Yeah. So happy to have you here and as our second guest on the podcast. Some big events coming up right now. I think two weeks away from Youth Sunday.
Oof.
You excited?
Oh, I'm so excited. I think Youth Sunday is probably one of my favorite Sundays in the year, you know, outside of the holidays and all the other big things. But I do love it. It's so much fun to see, honestly, youth take over the church. Like, I think that's just entertaining.
Yeah.
You have a new person come in, and it's just some sixth grader, like, shaking their hand, welcoming them. Like, what a cool encounter, right? But yeah, I really do love Sunday. It's so much fun.
Something that always blows my mind is how many, like, positions there are to run a Sunday and how many people it takes.
So many.
It's like crazy on how many.
Yeah, it's nuts. I'm like just thinking through all the different roles and I'm like, well, you have like the cafe, you have greeting, parking, you have all the different kids ministry classes. And at Grace here, we have three services. So you have everything times three, which is a ton of time and also a ton of work.
Yeah,
for sure. So it's pretty cool to see all those volunteers kind of take a little bit of a break and get to see the fruit of maybe years working in kids ministry, getting to see that same kid that you've poured into actually get to pour back into the church.
Yeah, that's so
true. So it's really, really cool. Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm so excited. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks away and just excited to see what God has for the students and for the church.
It's going to be good. I'm pumped. So excited.
All right. Two icebreaker questions, changing them up a little bit from our previous podcast. But the first question is, what would you be doing if you weren't working in ministry?
Good question. It would be one of two things, maybe both. I don't know. We will never know. But if we did, I really, really found a passion in sports science and actually doing some type of training or just honestly walking alongside people through that. Or I'd probably be living in a van on the west side, anywhere from like Portland to Boise, Idaho. I'd be a happy camper in a van alone. I think that'd be great.
That's awesome.
That would be it.
So this is the secret question I was going to ask you since first answer was kind of with lifting. So what is your strongest lift that you've ever had, that you've ever had overall, not like saying right now or anything? I just want to know, like, my guess is deadlift. Is that true?
That is true, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And then around 300?
Yeah.
Okay, what's the final number?
The final number, I think I maxed out at 365.
Wow.
But yeah, that was a toughie. I think it was on my third attempt. And I was like, please, I just need to get it off the ground, please. As soon as I can get it off the ground, maybe I can lock out. And I did. And that was huge because I was, I think, a month and a half of like deliberately training for that lift.
That's crazy. Was that in competition?
No, thank goodness. No. But it was, I don't think I would have been able to actually do it in competition. I think I would have been too nervous. I get nervous.
Really? I feel like if I was in a competition, I thought about it when I was in high school, but I never did it. But I felt like I was like, I could probably do more than what I think because of just like, I feel like the nerves, but it's probably not true. You've actually done a competition, right?
I have. And I did powerlifting for a short little stint in my life. And I was squatting and it wasn't even a super heavy number. I can't remember what it was, but I don't think I went far enough, so I didn't hit the parallel line. And after that, I psyched myself out. The second attempt, I went way too low, and then I like had to bail the lift. And I was like, oh no, I didn't go low enough. Now I went too low. Wow. Third time's a charm, but I really messed with my own head, and I was overthinking it from the second the bar was on my back. So I don't know. I think when it comes to like high pressure or an environment where I need to meet a standard, I can kind of overthink it, to say the least. Yeah. Overthink it. Yeah, but it was fun though. It was a good time.
I wish I went into it, but now I'm just like, it takes a lot out of you.
Mm-hmm. So, a lot of dedication. Yeah. Your training changes drastically. So I was doing way more like bodybuilding style. And then when you get into powerlifting, that's all strength training.
Yeah.
It's like a 180. Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
I almost said 360. So I had to pause myself there. Yeah. But yeah, it's really different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for
it's
sure.
Fun, but different.
Yeah. All right. The next embarrassing, or whoa, when I jumped ahead of myself. What is the most embarrassing thing that happened to you? That's my question.
Oh, I might need a second to think about it. Do you have any?
Oh, man. I have so many. And like the first one that comes to my mind, and I. My brother's probably going to listen to those. He's going to hate me, but it's okay. Anthony, if you're listening to this, just know that it's a safe place. So when my brother and I were in high school, I was in ninth grade, I think, and he was a senior. Mm. And the youth group had a talent show.
Oh, yes.
And my brother and I did karate for years. And so do you remember this?
No, but okay. I think I remember hearing about it.
Oh, boy. It's been around.
No. It has.
So our great idea was let's do techniques on each other. That's what it's like, basically like let's fight each other on stage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so like for 5 minutes.
That's so
we just like started.
No.
At first I was like going super light, but then like my brother hit me in a good spot and I'm just like, snap. Oh dude, I'm going all in then.
Yeah, the gloves are coming off.
Yeah. And obviously I wasn't like full on punching him in the face, but I was just like, I gotta make this look real. So I like just started like actually like hitting him in the stomach, and then
jeez.
At one point I like picked him up, and then we walked off the the stage, and then this is embarrassing. My brother, we had music behind this, by the way, the entire time, like Karate Kid music behind this.
You have to.
We're in our gis. We have we have our belts. We have our gis. And then the last thing we did was like, my brother's like, all right, I'm going to do the 1-inch punch.
No.
And so my brother does it on me, and I like fake it, and I like fly backwards. It was just, it's the most embarrassing thing. Sometimes Anthony will just be like, do you remember when we did this? I'm like, don't bring that up. But now I just said it publicly.
I can see it now. The eye of the tigers in the background. That's amazing. Yep. Oh.
Well, now that I shared.
Yeah, no, this is fair. this was actually pretty recent because this is the only one I can think of. And it was so something I love doing in like pre-service or during games or some type of like, let's get the audience or the youth group involved, or just can they participate in some way? So I love doing the whole like, I say one thing, you say the other thing. Well, sometimes in my head I'm thinking, okay, they need to say the second phrase and I need to say the first phrase. What has happened multiple times is I will give them the first phrase and then I say the second phrase. And there was this very particular time where I said something like, what was it? What did I say? I will just say, I said, go weak. Let's do it that way. So they, in theory, I should say go and they should say weak. Because that would be the phrase.
Yeah.
But instead, it's, you say go, I say weak. Oh, no. It was a moment of like, oh, shoot. Weak.
And then they just sit there and they're like,
It was bad. It was so bad.
At least that's your most embarrassing thing. It's not doing karate in front of the youth group.
Yeah, it's not that bad. Yep. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Thomas.
No problem.
You took that trophy from
me. Oh, man.
Carrying it proud.
I'm glad I'm just, you know, getting it off my chest now. All right, let's jump into our question.
I love it. I'm really excited.
The question is, I feel like no one really understands me. Like, if I told them everything, then they wouldn't like me anymore. I struggle with OCD and overthinking, but I don't know how to tell anyone. I'll set up the question a little bit. I'll act like I'm this person. I feel like my friend group, I can't share with them anything because they can't relate to me in a way. Like, they don't have like the same struggles as I do. The people around my youth leaders, like, they can't relate to me. So why should I share with them? Because no one will understand me, basically.
So there's like two things in that like breaks my heart. One, what's stopping you from being the change you want to see in the group of like authenticity? And then the second one is, how do you know if you don't ask? So for me growing up, there was this this level of performance I would do, especially in middle school and high school, where if I wanted someone to see me in a particular way, then I needed to meet that standard or that expectation that I either perceived that they wanted me to be, or I project that I wanted to be. And some of the things were great. Like, they were good things, like love your parents. Be nice to your siblings. Be a good friend. Like, these are all good things. Like, please do them. But I started doing them in hopes to be loved and accepted. So then now that friendship or that relationship is very transactional. And if I want to be loved, I need to perform. If I want to be cared about genuinely and honestly, I need to meet that standard. Well, what happens when I can't? Because I'm human.
Right.
I am not always a good friend. I can tell you the last time me and my siblings have been in a fight. Like, these are things that happen. But that's not how, like, our relationship with Jesus is. And that's one of the things that really changed for me, at least, because it's super easy to perform. Like, I almost want to say performing not only is easy, but it's also exhausting. So it's this two-sided of the harder choice will be authenticity, but it will be like the lighter choice. Because you're not trying anymore. There's less of an exhaustion that comes from wearing layers of masks or expectations even. But yeah, it's hard, dude.
Yeah, it is. Would you say God knows me?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like, so how do we know though?
Oh my gosh, you could go to like 10 different things, but I'll go to Psalms.
Okay.
139, which is probably one of my favorite ones. It is David having one of the most intimate conversations with God. Let me just tell you the first line.
Okay.
It's, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me." And this is David, who's made some pretty rough decisions in his life. Like, he's made some mistakes. Like, he's not perfect. And that God still knows it, sees it fully, and loves him. Like, what an intimate, beautiful relationship that's not even built on David being a perfect person.
Yeah, that's good.
I think it's really easy to try really hard in our relationship with Jesus in a way of trying to perform in that, but then we actually miss the best part about it. That, like, honesty, even in that alone, is Jesus wants to be in an honest relationship with us, right? Like, you want to, like, we should have an honest relationship.
Yeah.
We should be able to say honest things. Like, we're friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've known you for a while. And so if we're going to be in an honest relationship, then I probably need to tell you exactly where I am, right?
For sure, yeah.
So, like, in prayer, let's say I'm, like, talking to God, I'm going to be honest where I'm at because I know he's going to meet me where I am, not where I tell him I am, and that's not actually me being honest.
Yeah.
So like, even if we go into like the second part of that question about OCD, something I would do a ton growing up in prayer is like, I felt like I needed to pray in a certain way. And I would get very particular with it. And then I would like shame myself if I like got off track. Like, and I realized like, Jesus helped me realize that, wow, I am now taking that same performance that I would do towards the people around me. And I would do it towards God. And I felt this distance of, wow, I'm not letting you into the hard parts of my life in fear that if you knew them, would you really love me?
Yeah.
And this is the same God who fully knows me and also demonstrated his love for me to die for me. Hmm. Not the me that's on my best behavior, but the me that's actually on my worst behavior. Like that's the me he died for.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's like, Rose, I see so much more in you. Let me foster it and grow it. But you have to let me into it now.
Mm.
Even if you feel like the house isn't clean. Like if your heart is your home, like what a beautiful opportunity to be like, open the door and let Jesus in no matter how messy you feel like it is. Like David knows this. David's my husband, for anyone who doesn't know.
I love David so much.
David's great. Something I would do and still do sometimes is panic clean a good 20 minutes before anyone arrives. And David actually, over the past few years has really helped me see, like, my house doesn't need to be a certain level of cleanliness for me to want to open it up for people.
Hmm.
That doesn't say anything more about me than a clean house does. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I would do a solid like 20, 30 minute panic clean. I'm like sweating. I'm like vacuuming the stairs, like just the random things that do not need to be cleaned. Sure, like maybe we tidy up the dishes that we haven't done in like 2 days. So like there's a level of cleanliness that I think is good. We should do.
Yeah.
But that does not dictate the relationship or my ability to open the door.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important. So yeah, like honesty in our relationship with Jesus is freedom, because he already knows it. Like that's it. I don't need to hide anything, but I also get the privilege of opening the door and letting him into it, because mm-hmm. he wants to be a part of it. He's not scared of it or surprised by it. That was a big thing. It's like, if he knew, is he going to be disappointed and surprised? No, because he wasn't falling for the performance and the mask. Like, he sees me, like, deeply and truly. There's this line in this poem. It was a poem from someone to an abuser who abused them, and it was this prayer of like, I hope God sees you the same way, or it's, I hope you come to see that God is looking at you with grace-filled eyes. And it's just this cry to say, hey, I want you to experience the deep knowing that you're fully loved and fully known. And what God knows about you doesn't change how much he loves you. Like they're not determined on each other. They're complete despite what the knowing is. The love doesn't change.
Yeah.
Like that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's good.
Mm.
Just to like transition to like into maybe a perspective of, I feel like no one in my group, in my youth group, like no one will understand me if I like share this with them.
Mm.
And how could I have that perspective of, you know, people do care. How can I make that giant leap of sharing like something that I'm struggling with, basically.
Mm. I think there's freedom in knowing, like, there's freedom in knowing that, hey, it's okay if they don't understand to the level you expect them to.
Yeah.
Because we all have different journeys.
Mm-hmm.
I think giving grace to that environment and that that situation is really important. But I think you would be really surprised. Like, if there's anything that you can be surprised by is that we're all broken. Mm-hmm. Like, surprise.
Like, yeah.
9 out of 10 times, either your leaders probably have already experienced something similar or have been through it or made the right or wrong decision in that scenario. Like, don't miss out on sharing, because you also might be the reason someone else gets to share.
Yeah.
Like, you could be the domino effect of freedom for someone else.
Yeah, that's good.
So also don't look at it just as, I need someone else to go first. No, you be that person.
Yeah.
Like, why does it have to be someone else?
Right.
If God's already putting that on your heart, then jump in, like, yeah, 2 feet in. Because at the end of the day, freedom is really knowing I can be open and transparent because the one person that really matters already knows and loves me.
Yeah.
So I guess the question is really, what's stopping you? Because if it's, you're not sure if Jesus knows and loves you, then let's start there.
Yeah.
Because that's the beauty of it. It starts there and then it trickles out.
Mm-hmm.
Community is so, so, so important. But Jesus is the defining factor in it. Like, yeah, community, like the community that is so beautiful and you can find in youth groups, mm-hmm, and in churches and in homes and school communities, like, it's out there, but the common denominator is Jesus in it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to that. But yeah, I mean, there's been youth nights where, I'll just share this quick story. We were on a mission trip and one female came out of, or let me set the context a little bit. Mission trip, in the evenings, we will do like a debrief or a breakdown night, okay, where we talk about the day, some highs, lows, prayer requests. Normally they're always like hyper positive. Like, God did this, God's doing this. And it's always like, yes and amen.
Mm-hmm.
This evening, there was just a heaviness in the room.
Hmm.
I should say outside. We were outside. Heaviness in the air.
Yeah.
And there was this boldness from this one female. She came up and told about something that she was struggling with that was, in that context, the weight of her words, you could feel the taboo that she believed that was in it.
Hmm.
It probably was maybe like 4 or 5 seconds after she sat down, another female said, me too. And then it became this ripple effect of almost maybe 40% of the individuals in the room, in the environment, because we're outside still,
yeah.
male and female came up and were like, yeah, I've struggled with the same thing.
Wow.
And it was just this community of saying, hey, we are broken. God is still good. God is still sovereign. And he still uses broken people. So let's stop pretending like we don't bring broken pieces to the table. Because I think about, like, when Jesus fed the 5,000, it was the small things that he was using.
Mm.
But do we have enough faith? Let me rephrase this. Are we so quick to belittle what God has already given us in the miracle that he's working? Oh, man. Like, I'm like,
yeah.
She led by example. And I can't imagine how terrifying that would have been.
For sure.
And yet she said, hey, this thing I'm struggling with does not define me. It does not own me. I may still struggle, but it does not take my freedom.
Mm-hmm.
It does not control my level of authenticity and love that I feel with Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, the shame does that. Like, shame will hide you away and not give it, like, it won't let you give it a second thought.
Yeah, for sure. I think even like on a personal story, I could think of like just the struggle that I faced when I was younger with like pornography and how I did not want to like bring that out, because I'm just like, no one's going to understand this. No one has been through this.
Yeah. You're alone.
Yeah. Like, and it's just like, that's just the enemy just keeping you in that, inside that sin. Because whenever I did bring it out to the light, I can't tell you how many people came up to me like, I struggle with the same thing. And then we just like come together and then we defeat the enemy together.
Yeah.
And it's just like, there's so many other different things like that I could just name off that I've felt like that no one else struggled with. But whenever I did bring it out to the light, there's many other people that did struggle with it. Mm. And I think of 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. That's just like the first half of it. But I think about that and I'm just like, wow, even in, you know, many, many years ago, Paul was writing about the same thing and how we're still facing it today. But God leads us out of that temptation. He leads us out of that temptation. He leads us out of that sin. That's the other part of the verse.
Yeah.
And it's just like, as you bring that out of the darkness, you bring that darkness, that sin to the light, you'll start seeing healing from that sin. And that sin will, you know, be washed away. Yeah. And already is washed away, but there's so much more whenever you bring that confession.
So important. And even just you saying, like, following Jesus out. Like, yeah. He can lead out. Like, he's got it. Like, it's like, it's so, yeah.
I think another thing that this just came to mind, like, God has Adam name all the animals. And why does God have Adam do that? It's because your words have so much power. And that's what God was showing Adam. Like, hey, your words have a meaning that whenever you...
There's weight to it.
Yeah, there's weight to it.
Yeah.
And I think even confessing those things, because I think we can sit in our mind and be like, okay, I confess these things to you, God. Like, that's good, but also saying it to someone else.
Oh, yeah. So important.
Is super huge. James 5:16. Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. For the power of power of prayer from a righteous person is powerful and effective. I might have... mess that up a little bit, but but yeah, though, that's just like how I whenever I think about this question, that's what comes to mind and how to navigate through that.
It definitely takes some navigating, and that's the thing. It's like scripture really does give us that. It's alive, it's breathing, it's living. Like, there's so much more to it. Because I think, too, as someone who, like, grew up in the church, sometimes it was really easy for me to also overlook scripture as useful even in these contexts. It's like, oh, man, Jonah again? Like, okay, so two of every animal on the boat, like, different story now. Like, just this constant, I started overlooking, like, the intricate beauty of the whole story. I don't know where I was going with that one.
No, that's good.
But that was it.
Do you have anything else to add before we close the podcast?
Be the change you want to see. I know it's really, really scary. But it doesn't scare Jesus. Start with him. Like, just be honest. Even if you're praying and there's even, like, he's not afraid of strong emotions. Even if the thing you don't want to tell your friends isn't something hard, but maybe it's actually something that you're angry about, invite Jesus into that emotion too. Like, strong emotions do not scare him. So let him sit with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Miss out on that. Yeah. That's the win.
I think a big thing that you can change in prayer, going from, you know, Jesus, I'm sorry I did this, but Jesus, thank you for, you know, forgiving these sins that I've committed. Just help me, you know, walk down the righteous path towards you. So.
Yeah, the joy of intimacy is in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah. Oh.
So good.
I love Jesus, man. Sorry.
Jesus loves you.
Yeah, fully. Yeah. No, he really does, though.
That's true.
Yeah, that's all. I'm really, really happy to be here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming here. Mm-hmm. I appreciate your time and so grateful for you and mm-hmm. everything that you're doing in the middle school ministry. And I'll be praying for you as you continue to step into that.
Oh, it's fun. It's a joy. It's an honor, really.
Yeah. We're honored to have you.
Yes. I'm honored.
All right. With that, thank you for listening to the second episode of this podcast. We hope you have a great day. Take care. Peace.
It's Grace Youth Podcast. Yes, Grace Youth Podcast. Yes, Grace Youth Podcast. It's Grace Youth Podcast.